Campus FM jippreżenta 50 u waħda. L-istorja ta' Malta tul daw l-aħħar 50 sena minajnejn il-Malta Historical Society. Prezentazzjoni u produzzjoni Sergio Grech. Nsalmilkom merħba l-semija tagħna għall-aħħar programm f'din is-sensiela 50 waħda programm fuq Campus FM 103.7 FM Stereo, opportunità li kellna nista' ngħidu biex nisimgħu numru ta' lectures li ġew organizzati mis-Soċjetà Storika ta' Malta dwar il-50 sena ta' indipendenza. Kienu lectures li tawna l-opportunità biex naraw kemm Malta mxiet f'diversi setturi tal-ħajja tagħna, bdejna minn suġġetti li jmissu mal-arti, suġġetti li jmissu mat-teknoloġija, suġġetti li jmissu mal-arkitettura, insomma, suġġetti li jiffurmaw il-ħajja tagħna. Fl-aħħar mill-aħħar dawn kienu 50 sena fejn politikament ukoll rajna minn kollox. Rajna l-Malta ssir indipendenti, rajna l-Malta ssir Repubblika, rajna l-eluq tal-bażi Ingliża f'Malta u rajna wkoll id-dħul ta' Malta fl-Unjoni Ewropea. Però rajna wkoll numru ta' żviluppi fil-qasam tal-industrija, fil-qasam tal-ekonomija, fil-qasam tal-finanzi. U dan il-programm tagħna l-opportunità wkoll biex napprezzaw din il- Malta, din il-Malta li bosta drabi ma tantx napprezzawha anke għaliex forsi ma tantx jinkidbu ħafna materjali li dejjem ikunu aċċessibbli għal pubbliku li joffrulna din l-opportunità. U matul din is-sensiela bla dubju diversi kelliema tawkom din l-opportunità biex tkunu tistgħu titħlu ħanajduwek u tixxalaw magħna f'din id-dinja tal-istorja. Storja bħal dejjem affaxxinanti, interessanti wkoll kif numru ta' suġġetti edin anki jinkidbu nistgħu ngħidu għall-ewwel darba, per eżempju l-istorja tad-disinn. L-lum xtaqt fil-fatt niproponilkom diskussjoni taħdita fil-fatt li għamel il-professur Henry Frendo li saret fil-bidu ta' dawn iċ-ċikli ta' diskussjonijiet, ta' dawn iċ-ċikli ta' taħdidiet li l-titkellem fil-fatt dwar il-kontinuità u il-bidla. Fl-aħħar mill-aħħar qegħdin nitkellmu dwar il-futur, għaliex dik hija l-istorja. L-istorja mhix biss il-passat, imma l-istorja hija wkoll il-futur tagħna. U permezz ta' dik it-taħdita naħseb wieħed ukoll jista' jqanqal dibattitu dwar il-preżent, għaliex fl-aħħar mill-aħħar l-istorja trid ukoll titkellem dwar il-preżent u anki tagħtina direzzjonijiet dwar il-preżent. Kif tafu il-professur Henry Frendo huwa l-awtur ta' diversi pubblikazzjonijiet li jitkellmu dwar l-oriġini tal- stat Malti dwar figuri impressionanti fl-istorja ta' Malta bħal Manuel de Mec u wkoll l-awtur tal-volum Europe and Empire, wieħed forsi mill-kotba l-iktar importanti wkoll li rajna fl-aħħar żminijiet f'pajjiżna fejn jitkellmu dwar l-istorja tas-seklu 20.
Change and continuity is a well-worn historiographical paradigm which indeed may be usefully employed to look back at Malta's acquisition of independence from Britain in September 1964. Nothing in human time changes completely or suddenly. To pretend or expect otherwise for any event, however historic, is illusory. There are events, however, when historical duration is emphatic. A country's emergence from colonialism to statehood is generally one of these. In Nehru's famous words in 1947, a moment comes which comes but rarely in history, when we step out from the old to the new, when an age ends, and when the soul of a nation long suppressed finds utterance. In a documentary history of Maltese political development from 1798 to 1964, I have shown from original sources the cursus and the angst involved in Malta's long and uneven path towards autonomy and freedom as a small strategically located and foreign occupied island. I have argued elsewhere that independence is not made in one day, but there is a day when it is obtained. Most ex-colonists celebrate the date of their independence as their national day. Malta did so too until 1971. Today, it remains arguably the only independent state in the world without a national day. Equally, there is no want of feasts, celebrations, and indeed of anniversaries. So what changed and what didn't? Very briefly, the first change was institutional and political. From a colony, indeed a fortress colony, Malta became an independent and sovereign state. Malta thus assumed control not only over its economy and governance, but also over its foreign affairs and defense. For example, it named ambassadors and had ambassadors accredited to it. It could move resolutions of substance at the United Nations, in the Council of Europe, and eventually, since 2004, in EU bodies. An economic diversification from large-scale dependence on military spending in accordance with imperial interests, which had largely characterized its economic history for centuries, commenced in earnest. New economic pillars were devised and pursued mainly in the fields of industry, tourism, and agriculture. These required further changes and had multiplier effects on beliefs and lifestyles. Socially, such shifts caused remarkable changes in employment patterns, educational options, construction, design, opportunities, social mobility, and gender relations. Young women, for example, could earn a living in factories, in the textile industry particularly, and no longer needed to become maids in private residences or remain homebound. Student horizons expanded away from traditional pursuits. A national consciousness and awareness increased, as may be seen from the mainly post-independence legislation, which will be discussed more specifically in this lecture series being inaugurated, and some have already been: archives, libraries, museums, heritage, conservation, patrimony, and so on. Not forgetting that from 1987 to the present, our university student population has increased more than tenfold. Infrastructurally and instrumentally, Malta came to possess the wherewithal to function as a state without any necessary apron strings. For example, it set up a central bank, a development corporation, a polytechnic, a power station with a loan from the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. Plans were afoot for a free port, yacht marinas, sports facilities. Further down the line, by 1974, Malta had established an operational national airline. Psychologically, independence slowly but surely liberated the mind and the spirit. This emancipation quickly assumed a visibility in the arts, including the performing arts, in music, and in theater. A hit like Viva Malta by the Malta Bums in pop music or Francis Abeyer's Mentz at the Pacht Manuel Theater represented a Zeitgeist. In painting and sculpture, bolder and even abstract art forms emerged, with some artists distinguishing themselves. A Maltese literature movement arose. Made in Malta gradually assumed currency. Well-to-do foreign settlers influenced the consumer market for goods and services. Original compositions, even in orchestrated folk music and song, epitomized by the genius of Charles Camilleri, among others. We have just listened to some earlier folk songs, which are particularly Cilia, which are very telling, lent an international dimension to talent, while openings such as the Eurovision Song Contest annually and ritually attract an emotional following. Shorn of old-time deference, fears, and constraints, civil society found more space and motivation within which to operate. For example, civic committees flourished throughout the 60s, in the 1990s to be replaced by local councils. Tourism and television brought the outside world inside, tending slowly to burst the colonial, ecclesiastically driven cocoon. As one straw in the wind, the National Council of Women was founded in 1964. A year when, incidentally, it also became permissible at law for a woman to swim in a two-piece costume. Slowly but surely, the Roman Catholic Church's grip on society's normative behavior declined, although church attendance, today at some 50%, continued to be on the high side by continental European standards. Newer forms of lay entertainment and pleasure increasingly competed with traditional folkloristic pursuits, however seemingly pagan in orientation, especially among the younger generations, but by no means exclusively. A newfound citizenship, by implication, meant more individual autonomy in conscience and morality, for better and for worse, from the point of view of social cohesion. More creativity and opportunity was in the air. All told, independence marked a voyage of self-discovery and self-improvement. There were challenges and consequences. One change by the late 1960s was that Maltese salary earners could not compete with the rising housing prices or aspirations catering for wealthier settlers. This was a negative side to a booming construction industry. But the prediction of a UN expert that the British rundown would lead to mass unemployment, requiring 10,000 Maltese to emigrate annually, came to naught. At the same time, and for that reason, urbanization galloped ahead, causing environmentalist concerns to rise. What didn't change? Malta still had British defense facilities and personnel on its soil in exclusive zones. That was part of the defense treaty negotiated at the time of independence. It was for 10 years. There would be no permanent British sovereign bases in Malta, as in Cyprus. In fact, the defense treaty was renegotiated in 1972 and extended by 5 years to 1979 by a succeeding administration led by Mr. Dominic Mintoff. Financial assistance to Malta, this time for rent, was topped up considerably. Dr. Borch Oliver's manner of dealing was more in the nature of soft diplomacy, intended liberally to ensure a smooth transition without endangering employment or direct foreign investment. Mr. Mintoff's, by comparison, was more energetic, doctrinal, and innovative or risky. Whereas the former nailed his colors to the mast of parliamentary democracy in the West, the latter sought neutrality, non-alignment, and on the whole, a more nationalistically assertive presence at home. Until 1971, Malta, like Canada, Australia, and elsewhere in the Commonwealth, had continued to have a British Governor General, Sir Maurice Dorman, representing the Queen, who remained Malta's head of state. To his credit, Dorman stood four square with the Maltese in 1967, when Borch Oliver's administration took very strong exception to any arbitrary hastening of the rundown. Various local branches of British companies, such as Cable and Wireless or Diffusion, were allowed to continue operating more or less freely, although in consultation with the Maltese government and as necessary and subject to institutional safeguards, such as the Malta Broadcasting Authority, which was entrenched in the Malta Independence Constitution. Until the 1970s, thousands of Maltese still worked for one or other of the service establishments, to which they and their families owed their livelihood. In other words, slogans such as British get out or British go home may have struck a nationalistic chord with some, but given Malta's condition, they were perilous. Again, until 1971, HAFMED, the headquarters, Allied Forces Mediterranean, had continued being based in Floriana, although its direct contribution to the economy was minimal. NATO had refused Malta's request for as much as an observer status. Mintoff and his Labour Party made an issue of all this, although ironically, they had once sought Malta's integration with Britain. Once democratically returned to office in 1971, for the first time in an independent and sovereign state, Mintoff went out of his way immediately and sensationally to leave his mark by interrupting or reversing what may be seen as a neocolonial continuum. New appointees, often with a partisan bias, thus made their presence on the horizon in just about every sphere of a more centralized and less tolerant governance, from public works to broadcasting to education. On top of all this, there was a more secular approach to limit and to laicize religious and ecclesiastical aspects, some of which were truly archaic. During the independence negotiations, Mintoff had wanted to introduce his so-called 6 points, including civil marriage, in the Constitution. Archbishop Gonzi's church was opposed to these, and had Borch Oliver consented to them, he would almost certainly have lost the referendum held in May 1964 about the independence constitution and missed out on getting independence. Fortunately, there was agreement in principle between the two main parties on independence itself. But Mintoff also disagreed on other points, such as membership of the Commonwealth, the timing of the defense and finance agreements, the calling of new elections, and so on. Whether Mr. Mintoff would have been able to obtain independence himself on his conditions is a very moot point, the more so after the failure of the earlier integration negotiations. To cut a long story short, once in power in an independent state in 1971, Mintoff promptly abolished independence from being Malta's national day and from being a feast worth recording at all, describing it as a farce. He went on to change Malta's national day 4 times in all, until he settled for the date when his extended defense agreement expired in 1979, calling it Freedom Day. All kinds of changes, not least in law and order, or rather its absence, and not least in 1979, went hand in hand with the Mintoff epoch, too many to recount here. At the same time, on other levels, continuity prevailed. Traditionally and historically, Many religiously driven occasions in the calendar, both local and national, retained an established and even dynamic import, which gave meaning to many people's lives, adding color and vibrancy, as well as affecting the collective memory, be that victory over the Turks and the Axis or the Feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. The family remained a core social value, although the introduction of civil marriage in 1975 and more recently of divorce, indeed of civil unions, permitted a plurality and an individual freedom of choice which hitherto had been practically impossible and largely unthinkable. Mortal sins and such like could once determine even how electors voted or related sexually. Today, such sanctions and inhibitions have become practically meaningless, as has the customary fear of eternal damnation in hellfire. But the times themselves change in continuity. One overriding factor of continuity is that, in spite of all hiccups, Malta remains one of the few ex-colonies with a functioning parliamentary democracy, regular elections, and an alternating succession in government. Mass illegal immigration from largely alien countries and cultures has dented social homogeneity, especially since 2002, on the eve of Malta's adhesion to the EU. The repercussions of such ethnographic, religious, sociological, and even political trends in so small a densely packed island, once Catholicissima, are bound to be increasingly felt. Ironically, differences may heighten the sense of belonging and of identity, even as this too may be somewhat changing in a globalized world and through EU membership. Development continued apace, as may be seen from the successful tapping of new avenues, from financial services to aviation, computer chips to pharmaceuticals, to newer forms of harbor-based transshipment. The diversification started in the 1960s permitted Malta not only to join the European Union in 2004, but also to join the Eurozone in 2008. Even tourist input has diversified, although British tourists still lead the pack. In 1974, the independence constitution was changed to make Malta a republic with a Maltese president, although Commonwealth membership was retained. Within the space of a decade, Malta will have hosted CHOGM twice at the conference and heads of government meeting, as well as at about the same time in the next few years had Valletta as a cultural capital of Europe and assumed the EU presidency. Well, may Malta remain the dear island home for its native inhabitants, but these are not feats which would have been imaginable, let alone realizable, in a colony and still less in a fortress. Bereft of personalities caught in the fray, events distill and crystallize. The seemingly endemic polarization, perhaps especially from the 1960s to the 1980s, mainly associated with competing leading colonial politicians such as Giorgio Borcholivira and Dominic Minto, now seems to belong to a different epoch, however challenging and seminal that was. Recurring electoral swings may be seen as an indication of a growing political maturity in public life. One proof of that probably is that this week, under a Labour administration, even as Malta still misses its national day, the 50th anniversary of independence is happily being commemorated officially and nationally with all due pomp and fanfare by one and all.
U minn dik it-taħdita se naddu issa wkoll biex nisiltu silta mill-ewwel programm ta' din is-sensiela fejn fih ukoll xtaqna nfakrukom fil-ħidma li tagħmel is-Soċjetà Storika ta' Malta. Kif tafu din hija soċjetà li hija attiva qabżet il-50 sena toħroġ ukoll numru ta' pubblikazzjonijiet matul is-sena u żgur li hija ħnejduhekk arja friska f'dan il-qasam fejn ħafna drabi ma tantx ikollna opportunitajiet f'pajjiżna biex ħnejduhekk napprezzaw f'ċertu dettall l-affarijiet li duru madwarna u soċjetà storika fil-fatt tagħtina din l-opportunità biex napprezzaw dak kollu li huwa storiku kemm permezz tal-pubblikazzjonijiet kif ukoll permezz ta' lectures. U fl-ewwel programm konna ntqajna ma' Teriż Vella minn din l-aqda fejn tkellimna magħha dwar x'qed tagħmel din l-aqda biex fl-aħħar mill-aħħar dal-apprezzament twaslu lejn il-pubbliku.
Issabiħu kif il-fat il-soċieta tirrifletti kif kien qed isir l-istudju tal-istorja matul iż-żminijiet. Qabel ma twaqfet l-Università ta' Malta l-Fakultà tal-Arti, l-istudju tal-istorja kienet dejjem attività tal-amateur, imma fis-sens pur tal-kelma, ta' min kien iħobb l-istorja.
Kważi kważi vokazzjoni.
Vokazzjoni, iva, fil-fatt. Għax ftit kienu n-nies li kienu voluti propja mal-istorja u fil-fatt ħafna minnhom kienu kunu bibliotekarji, per eżempju, li xogħolhom tal-ġurnata kienet li jidħossib il-kodba pjuttost milli jikdbu anke huma naħseb kienu jikdbu l-istorja wara l-ħin tax-xogħol tagħhom. U għalhekk is-soċjetà hija sabiħa jara liha sabiħa ħafna li kif tikkombina l-akademiċi issa li kibru fin-numru tul dawn l-aħħar snin. Imma baqgħet dejjem attiva fil-kitba tal-istorja fost dawk li baqgħu jħobbu l-istorja. Juri hemm ħafna nies pereżempju li gradwaw u anke komplew jistudjaw l-istorja b'mod akademiku, imma għavoli għal-kem ma jaħdmux fil-kamp, xorta baqgħu attivi pala storiċi. U Malta ħafna minnhom daw. Fortunatament ukoll dawk li jħobbu l-istorja għandhom ikunu lesti li jagħtu l-ħin li hemm bżonn biex tirriċerka fil-arkivi, so kif taf inserġgħu riċerka mhux dejjem sa tgħinek issib dak li qed tfittex. Imma minu riċerkatur li għandu veru li mħabba l-istorja dik hija l-attività. U
s-soċjetà minnija forsi Teris, tajjeb anke nsellmu l-dawn in-nies, llum faċli forsi nixkupaw kollox u ngħidu sma bdejna kollox aħna, imma wieħed irid jaraf anki dan ix-xogħol li sar forsi xi kultant veru jinħass li huwa xogħol tad-dilettanti forsi ma nafx, imma wieħed irid jaraf ukoll minn fejn tlaqna għalfej wasanna bħal tajt inti. U naħseb din is-soċjetà hija xhieda ta' dan. Forsi nagħmlu dal-punt, ġifieri jekk xi ħadd jixtieq jidħol membru, sempliċement jien inħobb l-istorja, nħobb naqra fuq l-istorja, inħobb infaddal il-militenzja, ma forsi ma mort università, ma studjajtx l-istorja, ma xorta għandi din in-namra dan id-delizzu x'naqbad ngħidu x'hum fl-aħħar mill-aħħar xek. Nafu li l-kolletturi tal-militenzja, pereżempju, huma nies differenti, ġifieri mhux bil-forsi huma akkademiċi, anzi ġieli ssir il-kritika li l-akkademiċi ma jaqrawx jew li m'għandhomx biżejjed għodot ukoll. Punt dwar dan, dwar min jista' jidħol membru.
Kulħadd jista' jidħol membru. Di mhix għaqda tal-professjonisti fil-kamp, anzi pjuttost għaqda min propju jħobb l-istorja, partikolarment l-istorja ta' Malta. Is-soċjetà hija attiva mhux biss fil-kamp ta' pubblikazzjonijiet li jirċivu kull membru jirċivi kopja tal-milita storika, kull sem dik hija parti mill-membership. Imma wkoll is-soċjetà hija committed għal sensiela ta' lectures li jsiru darba fix-xahar fejn nintroduċu r-riċerka li saret minn pereżempju nies li qegħdin jistudjaw l-istorja tal-arti jew li hemm mezz li tista' toħroġ ir-riċerka għal pubbliku. Din hija sensiela ta' lectures jisiru darba fix-xahar huma b'xejn, il-venju dejjem hija waħda differenti għax nużaw l-okkażjoni biex in-nies nistgħu ndaħluhom f'postijiet storiċi fejn mhux soltu li jistgħu jidħlu.
U bosta darbi wieħed jintroduċi anke nies ġodda u x'hekk permezz ta' dawn.
Fil-kamp tal-istorja. Palma hemm ħafna nies li jħobbu jirriċerkaw jaqraw dwar l-istorja, minn banda l-oħra ftit huma dawk l-okkażjonijiet fejn wieħed jista' jippreżenta dik ir-riċerka. Ħafna nies jippubblikaw f'gazzetti pereżempju, ma sfortunatament dik tintilef. Mhux kulħadd ikun jista' jippubblika u mhux dejjem huwa ta' livell ta' pubblikazzjoni. Imma għall-inqas dik l-informazzjoni ġdida tista' toħroġ u mbagħad aħna li aħna dilettanti namrati tal-istorja nistgħu nkomplu narblu l-informazzjoni ġdida.
Fil-fatt inti semmejt ukoll il-melita storika se jkun anke l-opportunità li nitkellmu dwaru f'wieħed minn dawn il-programmi. Però hemmhekk wieħed irid jirrikonoxxi wkoll għandek hux hekk wieħed mill-ftit journals li jħorġu Malta marbutin ma' din id-disciplina mal-istorja li xi ħaġa li tnaqret veru qatt ma kien hawn tradizzjoni kbira qawwija ta' journals toqgħod taħseb. Però jsom xi ħaġa li tibda u ma tkomplix imma waqt li dan l-esperiment kompla u baqa' sejjer.
Iva. Fatt kienet waħda mill-ewwel oġġettivi tas-soċjetà meta twaqfet iktar minn 60 sena ilu. U dik il-ġerni li hija naħseb waħda mill-ikbar achievements naħseb nista' ngħidu tas-soċjetà. Iva, hija Ija waħda mill-ftit mezzi fejn xogħol akademiku miktub b'mod riċerkat b'mod xjentifiku u miktub b'mod korrett jista' jintlaħaq mill-poplu li jħobb l-istorja, mhux bil-forsi tkun bniedem li sejjer l-università hekk. Jiġri is-sabiħ tal-melita storika hija li fil-fatt tasal f'ħafna fil-kaxxa tal-posta ta' ħafna nies ta' diversi.
U ħafna nies ikunu qed nistennewhom ukoll. Għax jiena nitkellem ukoll ma' ħafna nies li jkollhom dan il-għaġġ. Wallum naslu fit-tmiem ta' sensiela oħra ta' programmi fuq Campus FM grazzi lil Samuel Attar u lil Carmelo Grek li żammew ħafna paċenzja nistgħu ngħidu bija għal din is-sensiela li x'ukoll kellna bżonn nagħmlu xi ftit ta' editjar mhux ħażin biex numru ta' taħdidiet stajna anki nwasluhomkom sewwa ħnejdu hekk fi djarkom biex anki fil-kumdità ta' djarkom stajtu segwhom. Sakemm niltaqgħu f'opportunitajiet oħrajn jiena Sergio Grek nsellmilkom. Smajtu 51, program fuq Campus FM li ġib lilkom mill-Malta Historical Society. Prezentazzjoni, produzzjoni, Sergio Grek.